So what about ground penetrating radar? What if we had that as a machine? I mean, it's like electromagnetic radiation. It's being, you know, sent down into the earth. I wonder if you could use that. It goes down and bounces off objects. Could you do that and find hell itself? This week, Hell's Forbidden Secrets Unveiled, Shatter the Darkness, live broadcast on July the 5th, 2011, 6 p.m. tonight. This is Russ Dizdar. Hey, the website, shatterthedarkness.net. On the web, glad to be with you tonight. And we're going to jump in and dig down deep as far as we can into descriptions and definitions of hell, what it's all about. So the theme for the week, Hell's Forbidden Secrets. But the title for tonight from the Shadow of the Darkness website is If No Hell Below Us, Where's Hitler? And then think about this. Thank God for hell? Really? Let's touch on that. But again, GPR, ground penetrating radar. What if they did have a machine? Now, the remote viewers, any listening tonight, I wonder whether or not remote viewers have tried. They've tried to do heaven. They've tried to remote view God, go in the past and remote view Christ. Now, again, their connections are the Akashic Records. And the source of the data is not from God. So when Ed Dames goes and remotes views Satan himself, really, I really wonder who saw who. But what about hell itself? What about Tartaru? What about Gehenna? What about Hades itself? So ground penetrating radar, you know, it looks, they've got different kinds of machines. The kind looks like a suitcase you drag behind you and it penetrates down. I mean, in criminalistics, they use it to find bodies. There's been times we wanted to use it to find bones in ritualistic sites in the areas. They now have the kind that is like a bigger machine. You can drive it, or the lawnmower style one, but it penetrates and goes down and bounces off things and gives you a graph. You look at it to see what's down there. You think in terms of the oil companies and what they use to penetrate and see if there's oil way on down there. And then there is the TBMs. You know what these are? These are the boring machines that make the tunnels way into the grounds. I mean, you can think in terms of about the secret bases, the tunnels. I mean, it is really massive in China, United States, and in Russia, in Europe. The boring machines, one of them was called the Mole. Another gigantic one was called Big Becky. And, man, they're vast. And they're boring holes deep into the earth all around, all kinds of places. There are those that have tried to make a trip to the center of the earth. What did they find along the way? I was reading today about how there are those that have been in certain parts of traveling down into the ground, going through caverns and getting... Now, I did this in Kentucky. They woke me up. I was in college. They woke me up and said, come on, Russ, we're going spelunking. And I had no idea what that meant, but they took me deep into the caves. For 6 hours, we crawled and went down and all kinds of, I mean, just down and down and further and further and further. Wouldn't it have been really wild to all of a sudden turn a corner way, way, way down under the ground, deep down in the caverns, and all of a sudden see a demon standing there, Satan standing there, or a gateway that said Hell's Doorway? Where is hell? Where is Gehenna? Where is Hades? Does it make any difference nowadays? Listen, when nobody really wants to talk about it, nobody really wants to preach about it, and I don't know of anybody ever in my life, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know of anybody in my life that has ever wanted to go there. I don't know anyone. Now, as far as the realities of hell, you and I've got to understand whether Sheol, whether Hades, whether Gehenna. We dealt with these definitions yesterday, and we talked about the ultimate issue in all of it is this. It's a place. Biblical writers have not only talked about it over the 1,600 years it took to develop the totality of scriptures, But societies all around the world have talked about an underworld, a netherworld, a place of judgment, a type of hell. I mean, all over the world. But then there comes the biblical definition. Just like there were flood stories all over the world, or creation stories all over the world, and then there came the biblical definitions, when the Spirit of God guided writers that knew God and brought about God's revelation of creation, of the flood, of heaven, and of hell. And so we see, even in the words of Jesus, I'm looking in the New Testament about 101 times or more, the word hell. And that's in the context of Hades about 11 other times, and Gehenna about 12 other times, and Tartaru one time. A place of the departed dead that don't know God, that rejected God, that are lost. When it talks about Tartaru, well, there we have something even different. Tartaru is, in Greek, they call it mythology. I'm not sure about the mythology issue concerning the Titans and so forth. The Titans were said to have gone there. Nephilim maybe have gone there. But Tartaru, the place deep down in Hades. But let's look at a biblical revelation again. A biblical revelation in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Here's what it says. For if God spared not the angels, that is angelos, that had sinned, but cast them down to hell. Now think about this. Listen. And most likely again, prior to the creation of humankind, this insurrection occurred, Ezekiel 28, Well, if you want to call it the trafficking, the persuasion, the recruiting, the taking of one-third of the angels, as most say. But it's very clear here that angels did sin. Not all of them, some of them. Most would say a third, as defined in Revelation chapter 12. But look what this revelation of God says. God spared not those angels that had sinned. Cast them down to hell, that's the English, but the Greek word is Tartaru. He cast them down to Tartaru. It says this about Tartaru, deliver them into chains. Here it is, and there are many that say this is the ones, this is maybe the B'nai HaElohim that came down, Genesis 6, took the women, created Nephilim, out a hybrid demon humans. Now, they were cast down. There's extra biblical literature that discusses it. I'm not going to bring that in here, but it could be that that's a reference to it. Many make this speak about that. It simply says here that the angels that sinned, God cast them down to Tartaru. Deliver them into chains. Now think about this, chains. Now that just simply literally means a chain. Something that's holding another. The idea of prison chain. Same thing. But here's what it says. The chains of darkness. The chains of darkness. Zophos. Zophos. You know what that is? Blackness. Darkness. Those angels that had sinned have been cast down into Tartaru, and it's a holding place. They're chained or held there in the dark mist of Tartaru. They're there in, well, kept. It's a holding place unto the final judgment at the great white throne, and right after that, what occurs? This is an incredible revelation concerning, you know, the discussion of hell, and usually translations just translate most all of it hell. You got Gehenna, and that's the description of the horrific nature, the most horrific human view of agony, where the worm dieth not, and where the clenching of teeth and the fire is not quenched. That was the valley of Hinnom. Gehenna, where that was a real refuge dump, and that's what was going on. And Jesus, you know, in the reference to what is hell, that is the closest human version of what hell is like. But in the context of that, we also have Tartaru. Now, there are those extra-biblical sources that talked about Tartaru being a segment of Hades. Hades just simply being a vast, vast, vast domain underground, deep in the earth, for the departed dead. In the biblical revelation 11 times in the New Testament, Hades is in reference to those who lose their soul, lose their life. Jesus warns that no one, he doesn't want anybody to go there. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He doesn't want anybody to go to Gehenna, to Hades, to Tartaru. In Tartaru, fallen angels in chains of darkness. It's as if the darkness is the chains. The darkness holds them, reserves them, keeps them, waiting for the final judgment. It's almost the concept of the abyss, abusos. You know, that's going to be opened up later on. And the entities there, they're going to come out of it dimensionally, and they're going to come down upon the earth. Revelation 9. But that is strictly speaking about demonic entities, if not the spirits of the Nephilim, whatever they are. It's horrific. The picture is vast. And the reason for the revelation of God in advance, warning, no one else has given this. No one else has told that the abyss would be opened. And so it's very important that we take a look at the biblical revelation, at the words of Jesus. Now listen, if anybody loved humanity, if anybody healed humanity, if anybody wanted humanity to be saved, I mean, you got Christ going outside of Jerusalem, crying out, "Oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem," how often? I mean, this is the picture that God would have gathered them up and embraced them and saved them and delivered them. Jesus says, but you would, you thelema, you willed not. And so their house is left desolate until the future, future revival, Romans 11, until what occurs, their house is left to them desolate. Enemies on the count of the gospel. But God, well, whether Jew or Gentile, God wills the salvation. Timothy chapter 2, of all humanity, pass on through pass. Let me stop and say this. Going to welcome you to Shatter's live broadcast here on this Tuesday night, July the 5th. Back in the woods again today. Beautiful back there. Hot, 80-some degrees, humid. But not hot as hell, that's for sure. You see, you and I, we've never tasted hell. We hear in songs and we hear in literature and we hear off the lips of individuals. I remember my grandmother going through so many trials, 83 years old, talking about, it seems like I'm living in hell. And I remember saying to my grandmother, Grandma, this, regardless of how bad it really is. No, it's not hell. The finality of hell. Did you read the website notifications we put up? If you're brand new, this is Russ Dizdar. The website representing this broadcast, www.shatterthedarkness.net. There's an 11-minute overview if you want to listen to it, including the sounds. Remember the sounds? The sounds. What does it sound like in hell? I found another one, over 1,300,000. Supposedly, again, they're claiming the sounds. Now, again, I don't believe that anybody's penetrated. Not ground-penetrating radar. Not the boring machines. Nobody's drilled a hole and put a microphone down there. But it's interesting to think in terms of, what about the individuals? And I had one write to me today, and I appreciate that. There's Bill Weiss, there's, I believe, Margaret Baxter, and I've listened to the videos, I've watched the videos, I've listened to the story and read materials, and it's amazing that at least out of two individuals that I listened to and watched and read their materials, wow, they are powerful evangelists. It's an incredible thing. It's a horrific thing. Everything the scripture reveals about hell, Gehenna, Hades, Tartaru, every possible concept, it's very clear that it's the most horrific place. It is unparalleled. There's nothing on the face of the earth like it. It's a contained place. There is a locality. It is dimensional. And also, it's without question, there have been for thousands of years, those that have rejected God, had their sin nature, had Satan and hell's rights still in them. They have been there. I want to ask the question, where is Hitler after all these years? You could think in terms of some of the most notorious evil individuals in all of history and ask the question, where are they now? Where are they now? I wrote this on the website, quote, "Hell is a terrible place filled with anguish and finality. There is no grace there. There is no hand of God there to pull you out." No question, there are the dead, the God-rejecting dead. You ever read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? Here's the bottom line from God. You want to know the bottom line from God? They perish. Humanity, maybe someone listening by satellite, by internet radio, by the downloads all around the world, including now Seoul, Korea. We've been praying about getting into Cuba lately. But all over the world, as you download and listen, I know there are many, many listening to this particular series on hell. On the one hand, let's bring out the reality of it. Let's no holds barred, no apologies. Let's bring out all the revelation on it, because it is clear that God intends, that Christ himself intends, is to warn humanity about the place, about the possibility. And to declare that someone has come to deliver us from hell, to deliver us from that finality, to deliver us from sin, separation from God, Satan's rights over our lives. Let me ask you tonight whether or not you understand this. In all the world where you listen, I don't think you can put a microphone down there. I don't think you can have a camera. I don't know if you can have ground penetrating radar or the boarding machines or whatever else. And I don't believe the astral projectors or remote viewers can even touch it. Ultimately created for the devil and his angels. Ultimately created by God, regardless of the cultures around the world that it seems very clear in the history all the way back to the Akkadians, all the way back to Sumer. There's no question human history has talked about another world, a place of judgment, a place of judgment and torment, punishment. And out of all those descriptions and out of all those, insights from around the world, now we have a biblical where the Spirit of God led writers that knew him to bring about, once again, because God created it. God created this place. And the terminology hell or Hades or Gehenna, Tartaru, or ultimately when all of this is lifted up and thrown into the lake of fire. We'll talk about that Thursday night. And the second death. Hey, listen, let me tell you now. You don't want to be a part of the second death. You don't want to be a part of that finality. So I want to ask you today, where are those who have spit in the face of God, committed their hearts in living for self? In living in a lie, in embracing a lie. Does Hitler get to go to heaven? Does Stalin get to go to heaven? Does you can go on and on and name individuals, Jeffrey Dahmer, whatever else. You can name all kinds of names. We can sometimes ask about our family members. Did they make it? Bottom line, there's a clarity in Scripture. Is their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, this is a clear revelation of the absolute knowing of God, the absolute knowing of those who are going to be in heaven, the absolute knowing of those who will never feel, taste, hear, be a part of, experience Hades, Gehenna, hell, Tartaru. You see, I stand today to say that because of the blood of Christ and the grace of God and the cross, because of this and because of knowing Christ, the Spirit of God inside, the gift of eternal life, I already know. I will never taste hell. I will never smell its smells. I will never hear its real sounds. I will never really see it. I won't be there. I won't look around. There'll be no investigation. I don't have an interest. Now, it does seem when Jesus tells the story about the rich man and Lazarus, that on that side, after death, it seems as though there was the ability to see back and forth. The one down in hell, Hades, looking up out of there, could see up into paradise, Abraham and Lazarus being comforted. Paradise is a great description out of Scripture. Jesus speaks the words to the man on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Could you imagine, here's a bloody man, here's a thief, here's a sinner hanging on the cross, here's a man about to die. Grace is so vast. Grace is so big. Grace is so powerful. Grace exceeds sin's depths. Grace is bigger than the sum total, the collection of all sin, of all time, of all people. Grace abounds over it. There is a sin bearer. A sin bearer hanging on the cross, conquering the totality of the Russians and all your sin, of the Germans and all your sin, the Americans, the Canadians, of China, of Japan, all the world, the sum total of the history, Adam, Eve, to this very present day, and everything in the future till Christ comes, Christ conquers. In his sinless life, he conquers the totality with the will and the joy to bring to you forgiveness and freedom from the sin code and a conquering death's rights over you, of hell's rights over you. And let me tell you clearly that if you're lost, the Spirit of Christ is not in you. Have you ever read Romans 8? Romans chapter 8. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. That's the Word of God. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. Let me make it very clear this week, whatever topics we talk about, this is one, is a massive revelation of God, talked about by Christ, given to us in warning. And I think, truthfully, there are those who have been absolutely afraid of hell, scared of hell. Some people have gotten saved because of it. Thank God. Thank God for the warning. Thank God for the heads up. Thank God for the Savior. That cross and a Savior dying there. One man on the other side mocking and rejecting God in Christ. He is in hell to this day. Another man, sinful and repentive and turning to Christ, calling Him Lord. Romans 10, anyone confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, believes that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And salvation is the will of God. It is the mercy of God. It is the joy of God. It is the pursuit of God. It is the passion of Jesus says, I've come to save, seeking to save that which is lost. And if you're listening, If you're listening now, let me let you know right now that God pursues you, regardless of your background, regardless of your hard heart, regardless of where you're standing, regardless of your counterfeit spiritual finite demons, regardless of your philosophies and everything else, regardless of your arrogance and your pride, God seeks you. God calls you. God summons you. God desires you. Nobody loves you more. Nobody wants you more. Nobody has done what God has done for you at the cross. You know the old song, at the cross, at the cross? You know the old song, the old rugged cross? Astounding. The grace of God that supersedes sin and all of the filth and all of the depth and all of its arrogance and all of its pride and all of its horror and all of its separating our souls from God, linking us to the devil himself, and hell's mouth open wide. You die without Christ. You die without God now. You will not get him later. You can cry out in hell for eternity. You can cry out in hell for all. And I'm going to talk about annihilationism on Friday. There are those that believe that you only go to hell for about 70 years and then you're annihilated, or you get some kind of other, like a reform school. Really? What was the cross all about? What is the depth of evil? What is this about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? They perish because they refuse, very strong word, they refuse to love the truth, Christ, to love the truth, salvation, to love the truth and so be saved. You ever read that in context? How they delight? There are those, there might be some listening right now that delight in wickedness. Your judgment is just. Your punishment is just. There is no one going to hell based on injustice. There is no one going to hell. Did you hear about the mother that was accused of killing Casey, her little baby, and you know they found her wrapped up in trash bags in a little swamp? Been all over the news, all over the world. People have been looking into about the young lady that was said to have killed Kaylee. She was acquitted today. Not guilty. Everybody is, they're bringing in the O.J. Simpson stuff. They're bringing in everything else. I don't know. She had a jury that was picked specifically, a jury that would believe in the death penalty, because the prosecution was convinced they would get a verdict of guilty and that they would seek the death penalty. Today, it blows everybody's minds. I don't know about that case. I don't know about all the cases in human courts. But when it comes to the courts of God, when it comes to the Lamb's Book of Life or the books, white throne judgment, the books, you're in one or the others. You're in one or the others. Your name in crystal clarity, you are either in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is definitive, eternal life, indestructible immortality, embraced by God to see God face to face, because you've received his message. You've received Christ as Savior and Lord. The Spirit of God dwells in you. And the gift of eternal life, that indestructible immortality, it's yours now in Christ. And then there are those refusing the Spirit of God, refusing the Word of God. You mock it. You run from it. Like I did when I was a teenager, running to the bars, drinking, doing the drugs, laughing at Christians, mocking them. I even knocked a Bible out of a man's hand once that tried to witness to me, mocking him. by the sheer grace of God, there was a young lady that had looked my picture up in a yearbook of the high school that I went to. She didn't know me. She began to pray. She saw my face in a yearbook, began to pray for me in September of 1975. By an incredible encounter, a man witnessing to me, that's the night. In September of 75 is when Jesus Christ came into my life, and he blew out of my life sin code, death code, Satan's rights, separation from God, and the totality of my sins. I know what it is to be on that side of the fence without God. I know what it is to be on this side of the fence with God. What side of the fence are you on? If you've been a listener to the broadcast, Shatters Live broadcast, you know very well that we have broadcast quick notes that we put up. I got three things that I'm going to mention, and this is going to be somewhat strange. Let's ask the question. Let's think about it for a moment. What if hell was erased? What if hell was erased? I mean, on the biblical revelation, this tells us that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people in hell. They've been there for thousands of years, many of them. All the way back. There are those that are in hell, whether you want to describe it as Hades, Gehenna, ultimately Tartaru is specifically in reference to the fallen angels. I mean, where is Hitler? I was going to a meeting for doing deliverance on an individual with another person. And we had stopped by a coffee shop to pick this guy up. And I walked in because he was inside. We sat down and we began to talk. There was two ladies sitting there. And one of them said, well, I'm just glad that, you know, after you die, you go off into the great beyond. The great beyond? I thought to myself, the great beyond? She didn't have any idea what she was talking about. I mean, she had some kind of New Age concept. She'd been into that, yoga and all kinds of other stuff. And she was into all kinds of, you know, eclectic spirituality. And so she had this idea of some kind of osmosis beyond something. And I looked at her and I just said out loud, to the beyond? And she looked at me. She says, yeah, to the beyond, to the great beyond. And I said, where's the great beyond? She says, out there. She pointed up in the sky. I said, well, what is the great beyond? I don't know. And so I said, what's the source of the great beyond? I don't know. So is that what happens when you die? You go to the great beyond. What's the great beyond? Do you have assurance? I'm going to tell you right now, there can be crystal clear assurance what will happen. And I'm going to tell you this, over the years, I've met a lot of individuals prior to coming to Christ. They had crystal clarity that if they died prior to that moment in their life when they turned to Christ, they know they would have went to hell. I can look back to the very day that I got saved and can tell you the day before I knew with clarity I had no rights to heaven. There is nothing. If I was to die and stand in the sight of God and someone asked me, what gives you the right to come in? Are you changed? Is your heart changed? Is your life changed? Is the sin code dead? Is the death code dead? Is Satan's rights removed? What is your right to enter in? Back then when I was a big, heavy-duty, bar-fighting sinner, if I was to go into heaven, what would have been the change? Up to that time, I had rejected Christ. I had rejected those witnessing to me. I wouldn't go to church anywhere. I secretly tried to read the Bible a few times on my own. Even while I was on drugs once, I was trying to read the Bible. I was afraid of the Bible. I was afraid to turn it upside down. I had to make sure the Holy Bible part was sitting up. I had no knowledge. I was clueless. I was ignorant. I was dead in trespasses and sins, as the book of Ephesians chapter 2 says. Satan had rights. That's what it teaches. And if you want to know about that, Ephesians chapter 2. Satan has rights to you who are lost. In the gospel, and we'll bring it out this week, if you're lost, and absolutely do not have the living Christ, the gift of salvation inside of you, then yes, you'd be considered a child of hell, a son or daughter of hell. I'll bring you that scripture up Wednesday night. In the context of all of this, let's ask the question, if hell were erased, if somebody erased hell, okay, well, not annihilation, we'll talk about that Friday, but what if all of a sudden, like, school's out, you know, somebody opens the doors to hell and everybody's allowed to get out. Where do they go? Where does Hitler and Dahmer, where do all those who have rejected God for so long, where do they go? All of a sudden, do all of them rush into heaven? Does heaven get changed? Is heaven going to be nothing more than what we see in this world around us now? Injustice and rape and war, the non-stop continuation of this kind of world that we're living in? Are you crazy? I marked down three considerations about if we were to erase all of hell. Then let's look back in history, in all of history, where do the real, I mean, we're talking about really wicked, you know, where does John Wayne Gacy go? Where do those that have raped and pillaged and destroyed and killed and maimed and where are those, where are they? Do they just get let out? Do they all get to go to heaven? Do they all get a seat? Does heaven change and become a mixture again? Like pouring dirty water into clean water. Would you drink it? Three considerations, the issue of history. What about Christ in the Bible? What about the revelation? Do we throw it all out? If there is no hell, then we need to say that the sum total, 40 writers, the massive history of biblical revelation, is it all wrong? Is Jesus Christ wrong? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the most attested to manuscripts in all of ancient literature, beyond anything else, beyond the Gnostic Gospels, it blows the Gnostic Gospels out of the water. One given by the Spirit of God, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The others, Gospel of Jude, Gospel of Mary, third Peter, all the Gnostic writings given by dark spirits, eliminating the deity of Christ, eliminating the actual glory of salvation, and negating hell. All of the New Age movement does the same thing. Every occult and cult has done the same thing. And I've never met anyone part of any of those that have a testimony of knowing Jesus, the joy of salvation, and the clarity of knowing they will have indestructible, irreversible immortality. So if hell was erased, all of history, all the individuals there, where do they go? Christ in the Bible wrong, really? What about salvation? What are we saved from? Salvation includes being saved from hell, saved from Hades, saved from Gehenna, saved from having Hades and all that is in it lifted up, and the second death. You ever read about the second death in the book of Revelation? Oh, we'll bring it out Wednesday night, Thursday night. Because hell has everything to do with the second death. Hell has everything to do with the lake of fire. I mean, Satan's going to be thrown there. Nobody seems to object. The demons are going to be thrown there. Nobody, the fallen angels, nobody seems to object. They're going to be thrown there. Any rolling stoners out there that, you know, want to sing a little sympathy for the devil, come on. The devil is fixed in his will, fixed in his nature eternally by his choice, Ezekiel 20:28. By his violence, by his willed violence, fixed. And it seems pretty clear that those who go to hell, their hearts are fixed. Well, they might change. I mean, there might be those that once they get there, like the story Jesus tells, a man goes down, the rich man's lost. He's in torment. He wants a little relief. He's in some agony. And he's crying out to Abraham, go, please, let the dead come back and tell his family. Abraham, now listen, this is an incredible revelation. Abraham says, no, if they won't listen to the power and overwhelming sufficiency of the Word of God, of the Spirit of God, if they're not going to listen to that, they're not going to listen to the dead. I mean, you got Raymond Moody, you got Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, you got people that say that they've died, and you know, you got some that are New Agers, and it, you know, the great beyond, the clarity of Christ, the reason for the cross, the reason for the death, the reason for the resurrection, the reason for the second coming, the reason for the coming glorification of every human being that is trusted in God, trusted in Christ, that has their name written in that Lamb's Book of Life. Maybe some listeners don't know about the Lamb's Book of Life. You got to check it out in the Bible. The most powerful spiritual book authored by the Spirit of God. There's none other like it. So, in this context, if hell was erased, what is salvation for? We can ask those questions. We can take a look at all these things as we... if there's no hell, or if hell's open and everybody's out, what then does change hearts? Do all those there, does Hitler come out and all of a sudden does he want to change his life, or does he want to start up a Fourth Reich? Is there something that occurs that all of a sudden they're injected with something and they become zombie robots and no longer doing evil? What stops evil? It seems that God has revealed that salvation in Christ is the conquering power that brings forgiveness and freedom from and ultimate elimination of radical evil and sin. When believers in Christ are glorified, you will never sin again. There is no sin in the coming kingdom of God. There is no injustice. There is no war. There is no rape. Isn't that what you want? The Prince of Peace. God is the author of this. Not man's reason. Not man's philosophies. Not demon-inspired spiritualities that only distract. Let's ask the question again. Where is Hitler? Is there any justice in the world? I mean, really, is there any justice? What about punishment? What about change of behavior? I mean, is there some kind of strange teaching that once somebody goes to hell, then all of a sudden that's a re-education process, and without needing Christ, without needing the gift of salvation, without needing the blood of Christ, all of a sudden their behavior changes? Where's that teaching? Where does that come from? Do the demons put a spin? Do the doctrines of demons come with a spin that changes and offers? Something that's not true? What are you hanging on to? You know, on the notes that I put down here for the broadcast quick notes, point C. Did you read it? I put down there. Thank God for hell, ? If we think in terms of hell, Hades, Gehenna, Tartaru, and ultimately it being lifted up in the very end after the great white throne judgment and being, you know, the second death and, you know, everything judged, all the justice, all the, all is done, and then all of it's thrown into the lake of fire. What do you want heaven to be like? You want injustice there? You want thieves there? You want politicians that lie and cheat there? Do you want serial rapists there? Do you want family members that kill their babies? Do you want abortions up there? Do you want inequity? Do you want starving people lying on the streets? Do you want division of humanity and hatred and racism and hypocrisy? Is that what you want in heaven? When it comes to the judgment of God in this world and on this issue, it deals with the fact that God is wise enough, God is strong enough, God is compassionate enough that there will be a separation, that there will be a final judgment. And again, prophetic literature in biblical revelation consistently says that in the end, there is going to be judgment. People perish because they refuse God's answer. Arrogance, selfishness, self-righteousness, demon-inspired spiritualities. What are you clinging to? Does it save you? Does it give you a right? See, in the end of all, in the coming of Christ and the ultimate great white throne judgment, there is the finality of separation. Heaven will not have any of those things I listed. There will be nothing like what we're living in now. Well, it's not comparable to hell. A dark, gloomy, horrific, anguishing, empty place. No grace there. No offer. No door out. So, I have no question there might be some that get mad because, listen, I don't want to hear about hell. I don't want to believe that God would create a place like that. God created a place like that for the devil and his angels. That's what Jesus Christ says in the book of Matthew. That's a clear revelation of God. God created it for the devil and his angels. And let me ask you a question. Whose side are you really on? Truthfully, it's one or the other. Either you have the sin nature and Satan's legal rights linked to you, and you're lost, and you're hellbound, and you will die. Do you have God? Do you have the fix? That's what salvation's about. Because something's wrong. We all know that. Something is wrong. Do you admit that? Do you admit the fact that something is wrong? Something's wrong inside of you. Something's wrong with humanity. Something's wrong with us. And the wages of sin is death. Death is included in this, what is wrong. Sometime or later, you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go all the way down, if you want to verse 55. There's a declaration of the Spirit of God. Here's what it says. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Verse 56. The sting of death is sin. You know why? Because the wages of sin is death. Death has entered in as an abnormality. Romans 5:12 tells us that. By one man sin, death entered the world. And death passed upon all because what? Because all have sinned. It says that in Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You're lost. You're hellbound. You're empty. God's not there. There is no second chance in hell. And this is a divine appointment for some of you. This is a time when God says, wake up. Stop putting it off. Quit living in your addictions and sin and arrogance. Take a look at your losing your life and the consequences. You are on a one-way trip to hell unless there is intervention. The cross. Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. Did you read it? But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you understood the determined counsel of God, if you understood the passion of God, God wills that none perish. God wills that none go there. You go back to Ezekiel, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they would turn. If you lose your soul and you end up in hell and ultimately in the lake of fire, it's on your head, man. It's on your head, on your hands, your sin, your blood. It's now on your head, your hands. Christ calls you. Christ summons you. Come to Christ. What are you waiting for? Now, in the context of all of this, let me tell you again. Ultimately, there's a separation. Ultimately, there's an end. Ultimately, the doors close. The doors will close. How much time do you have? What are the lies of the devil? What are the lies of the old sin nature? You know, party till you puke, you know. One young man told me, you know what, I'm going to party all through my high school days, and after high school's all done, then I'm going to get saved. Really? You know the future? You know what's happening right now? What's happening right now among thousands of individuals listening live and thousands and thousands that will download later on and listen direct, the Spirit of God will speak to hearts and lives. Right now, you can turn to the living Christ and just cry out, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. I accept your gift of salvation, what you've done at the cross. I accept you as Lord, God, Savior. Come into my life. Forgive me. Give me a new nature. Give me the gift of eternal life. Save me from my sins and from hell itself. I'm going to tell you again the only answer, Christ. No one else died like this. No one else spoke the words that Jesus spoke on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know how willing God is to save you right now? You know how passionately willing God is to save you right now? He's given you another day, another moment. By the supernatural leading of the Spirit of God, He's given you this to listen to. Maybe somebody sent it to you. Maybe you got it and you're angry. Maybe you want to stay in your sin-addicted, drug-infested, alcohol-hating, racist life. Well, then, prepare for hell. And I'm not one that can tell you how to do that. I don't know what you're going to need. Going to take your toothbrush? Going to have a backpack? Going to take your cell phone? You think you're going to text anybody? Houdini wanted to go on the other side and try to communicate back. Never happened. People claim they see dead people all over the place. Really, are they just in the great beyond? Or are they in Hades? Hell, Gehenna, in that compartment. In that vast, vast netherworld. Or are they in paradise? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's the word of God. The thief on the cross that turned to Christ, that believed in Him and called Him Lord. Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, spoke to him and said, today, only He could do this. It's where He came from. Three times in the New Testament, paradise is used. And here on the cross, where the sinless Savior dies, you're going to reject Him? You're going to reject the love of God? You're going to reject the blood of Christ? Is there a Jewish man or woman listening? Are you going to reject Messiah? Read the Gospel of Matthew. Do you have the guts to read the Gospel of Matthew with an open heart, looking to God? For those who believe, for those who have the Spirit of God in them, you know 1 John chapter 5. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know, K-N-O-W, Gnosko is the word, that you would experientially know inside of you, because of the Spirit of God, that you have Hamnion Zoe, eternal life, indestructible immortality, with the ability to see God face to face. If you die right now, if I die right now, absent from the body, present with the Lord. If your spirit detaches, biblical death, thanatos. If you die right now, where do you go? There's a saying in the book of Hebrews. Have you read it? It is destined unto man once to die, after that the judgment. You ever read Ecclesiastes 12? You know, when it talks about a man that dies, a woman that dies, their spirit leaves, goes back before God, who gave it. And there you will either, if you're saved, if you know Christ, if you have turned to God and accepted His intervening rescue, His gift, paradise, man. That's the description. See, I take personal the words of Jesus. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. That man has been there with Jesus for almost 2,000 years. You see, just before the death of Christ and the resurrection, there at the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appear. No soul sleep. They're not sleeping in some soul vacuum, you know, container somewhere. God's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. There's Moses and Elijah discussing with Jesus his departure. And Peter sees Moses and Elijah. There they are. Yeah, in their spirit body form. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Old Testament and New. Elijah and Moses. Their appearance, they're completely involved with the soon coming death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Today, there's no conspiracies. We're not going to talk about the Nephilim and UFOs. I'm talking about you and the value of your one life. Whoever you are, the value of your life is measured at the foot of the cross where God in Christ gave himself for you to conquer your sin, the death that is in you, and the rights that hell and Satan have over you. That's your fault. That's my fault. But God has come for you. God has invaded me with conviction and convincing about 37 years ago when somebody had the guts to tell me that I was lost, that I was a sinner. The man said, Russ, if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. He was correct. If you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. You're going to lose your soul forever. But this is a great day. Grace is preached to you. Grace is offered to you. The Spirit of God summons you. And right now, God calls you to repentance. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive the gift of eternal life, of forgiveness, of God's empowerment as you receive the living Christ, as Lord and Savior. You can read it again. I encourage you, 1 Corinthians 15:55. Take a look at it today. Hell's forbidden secrets unveiled. Well, we've done some unveiling today. We're going to be back Wednesday with even more. Standing in the valley of decision, are you? We're at the end of this hour. Where are you? Rust is dark, shadowthedarkness.net on the web. We need your prayers. We ask for your investment and support. Check it out, shadowthedarkness.net on the web. God bless. See you tomorrow night.